Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Matthew 19:26. Hi, I'm Rob West. Sometimes a financial problem, like a huge pile of debt, can seem insurmountable. And it could be if you try to solve the problem alone. Sharon Epps joins us today with a wonderful story about what can happen when you surrender your finances to God. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always fun and educational, I might say, to have Sharon Epps with us on the broadcast. She's, of course, president of Kingdom Advisors and never at a loss for interesting insights to share. Sharon, great to have you back.
Thanks, Rob.
Sharon, last time you gave us some biblical principles for debt, and we're going to continue that discussion today. And I know you have a really inspiring story, and so I'd love for you to share that. But first, remind folks about how money can be used. We can boil it down to a simple four, right?
We certainly can. This is the live, give, owe, grow pie. And if you remember, a pie is the symbol we use because you have to divide it up and it's limited in the number of pieces you can serve.
That's right.
So we want to remind you that we've talked about the fact that debt can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Compounding works against you. That's an economic danger of debt. It also presumes on the future and may deny God an opportunity to work. That's a spiritual danger of debt.
Right.
And finally, it can add anxiety and threaten marital unity, a psychological danger of debt. So those are things we need to consider when we want to borrow. The Lord even told us that in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender.
That's right.
Now, I want to tell you a story, and this one's so important to my life as I watched this couple, Matt and Lisa, who were going to get married a few years ago. Lisa had no debt, but Matt was bringing $50,000 debt into their marriage. But God lit a fire under Matt. He decided, "I'm going to trust God with my money, and I'll do whatever it takes to get out of this mountain of debt." In fact, he said, "God, I'm going to seek your help on this." And he began to tithe at the same time.
Wow.
Now, the math seems kind of weird, paying off $50,000 and doing that with only 90% of his income.
Yeah.
But Matt took a couple of jobs and moved in with some roommates in a less expensive living situation so he could pay more on the debt. So while Matt and Lisa were engaged, he paid his debt down $8,000 to $42,000.
Incredible.
So just as they were married, Lisa took a job at a church in California. In fact, their honeymoon was driving from Georgia to California.
Nice.
Matt had a master's degree, but listen to this. He took a job at a restaurant, certainly not his dream job, so he could pay down the debt. He worked there with a great attitude and kept getting promotions. And one day, Matt was talking with the guys in his life group who were so moved by watching the way that Matt was going after paying his debt and trusting God that one of them pulled Matt aside and said, "Matt, I want to give you $5,000 to help you pay down that debt."
Mm.
And Matt said, "There's no way. I couldn't do that." And the guy said, "No, here's the thing. God's blessed us and we want to bless you. So this will give us joy."
Wow.
Well, Matt was overwhelmed, went home to tell Lisa, and she began to cry and told him that she was so moved by watching him handle his obligations this way. She had been praying and felt like God had whispered, "I'm going to help you. You're not alone in this." And she had written down the number 10,000 in her journal, thinking maybe God was going to send $10,000 to help them. She said, "You know, I guess I got the number wrong, but God really was faithful and helped us." Well, Matt and Lisa shared this story with another couple just for the joy of it. And the couple came back later and said, "Matt, we want to give you the other $5,000, so the $10,000 really is what God gave to you."
Incredible.
And Matt said, "I can't let you do that. You shouldn't do that. It's not your debt. This is my debt." And here's what the guy said to him. "No, Matt, your debt got paid on the cross. This is just money, and money is just part of living in the kingdom and part of what God gives to us, and we use it for eternal perspectives." So they gave it to him, and the life group cheered them on. Matt and Lisa paid off $50,000 worth of debt, living in the most expensive place in the world in less than 2 years.
Incredible. Well, I can't imagine setting the stage any better around this idea that God wants to work in our financial lives if we'll invite Him in. So we're going to continue to talk about how you can approach your debt from a biblical perspective and invite God into that journey. Sharon Epps here today. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Is there anybody out there? Talk of aliens and UFOs have been happening over the past few months, but it's not just coming from the mouths of conspiracy theorists, government officials wrestling with whether there is life beyond this earth. Well, Christians do know there is life beyond earth, though I'm not talking about aliens, but about the Creator of all things visible and invisible. There is someone out there, but He is not distant. He has made Himself known to us, and He hears us. 1 Kings 8 calls out to God with an amazing request. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Have you talked with the Lord recently? He is able to listen and to forgive. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Sharon Epps, president of Kingdom Advisors, frequent contributor here on the broadcast. And we're talking about living, giving, owing, and growing, the four things you can do with money. But specifically today, Sharon's joining us to talk about the owing category. And Sharon, before the break, you were establishing that debt can be dangerous economically, spiritually, even psychologically, but God wants to work in our financial lives. You shared a powerful story about a young couple that you knew personally, Matt and Lisa, that paid off debt. God was amazing at how He allowed His people to intersect into that story and help them pay it off. And I know there's a bit more to the story, isn't there?
There is, and this might be my favorite part. So Matt and Lisa, as we mentioned, paid off $50,000 of debt in 2 years on a pastor and a restaurant salary.
Wow.
So let me remind you of that. So once they got freedom from debt, what do you think the next thing they did was? Well, the very next month, they were aware of somebody else in their life group who was also struggling to repay debt. And so Matt and Lisa felt like the best thing they could do was sit down and write a check to that person and give the money away that they were saving from not having to make their debt payments to the other person that was trying to pay their debt. And they were able to say, God loves you, we love you, and we want to help you get out of debt. And to me, when we invite God into our financial life and when we surrender our finances to Him, you go on a spiritual adventure that nothing else can replace.
I suspect that won't be the last time they do that either, now that they've been the recipient of it, and now they've experienced the joy of doing it themselves, which is just the way God's economy works. Sharon, as you kind of pull back from this story and look at it from the bird's eye view, what are some observations maybe you can pull out of it?
Well, you know, one of the first things I want to say is a testimony is a story of someone else's life, and we never want to say that God will work exactly in your life the way He did in their life. But what we can say is the same God is working in your life.
That's right.
So there are a few observations from their story that I think we can take away. The first one is trust God first with your giving. Yeah. I think all of this journey started with Matt saying, I'm going to put God first in spite of the fact I have this mountain of debt. I'm going to give in obedience and then see what God does. I think the second thing is be faithful with your part. And sometimes I think we miss on this one. We don't ask ourselves, what am I willing to sacrifice to make sure that I'm able to get out of debt? Matt took 2 to 3 jobs to be able to do this. This is a guy that had a master's degree and was serving as a waiter at a restaurant to say, I'm this dedicated to getting out of debt. And then finally, allow others to help when needed. Now, if you're paying off debt, you may not have a friend that writes a check for $5,000 like they did. But there are ways that people want to come alongside you and help you. They want to pray for you. They want to encourage you. Perhaps they might even have some good ideas about how you might make some additional money. So as we invite other people into our journey, you never know how God will use them.
That's so true. We don't want to be prescriptive about this, but I love the part of the story where even in the midst of paying down a significant debt, he continued giving along the way. And we get questions from folks about that very issue all the time. Should I continue giving when I have obligations that are massive? How do you respond?
Well, I think absolutely so. It's a way we indicate to the Lord that He's still first. And you may need to prayerfully consider the amount, but I would say in every single case, and I think the example of the widow's mite tells us that Jesus honors when we give what we have.
That's well said. All right, Sharon, we love to share principles on this program because we want our listeners to be wise decision makers, and principles help us do that. So what are the principles that really undergird this topic of debt?
Well, if you listen to this program regularly, you've probably heard these, but let's recap them. The first one is, when I decide about borrowing, I want to make sure that the economic return is greater than the economic cost.
Yeah.
So if I am borrowing for a meal out to eat, for example, and I'm not able to pay that off in the very same month, then I'm at a loss because what I've purchased is definitely not going to give me a return greater than the cost. Second thing is, you need to be sure that there's a way to repay the amounts borrowed. And that way may be from your income. It may be from your savings account. It may be from other assets that you own. But you want to make sure that there's truly a way to repay. And I think one of the cautions that I see is, especially in credit card debt, sometimes in student loan debt, is we borrow with a hope for a way to repay, but we may not have a concrete way.
Yeah, or we may be too overly optimistic about our ability to pay. And if we're honest with ourselves, we realize, you know what, we really are just hoping this will play out.
That's so true. Now, the third one maybe should be first, and that is your spouses need to be in agreement. God has given us our spouse to be wise counsel and to help us sort through these issues. And I would encourage you that if your spouse is not in agreement about borrowing, that's an absolute warning sign. It's a red flag. Don't do it until you've worked through the scenario. And that probably leads me to the last one, and that is we really only want to borrow when there's no other alternatives. Borrowing may deny God an opportunity to work, and it's amazing what He does sometimes in the waiting as we wait to hear from him.
Now, somebody may hear you say that, and I have said that before as well. This may deny God an opportunity to work, and they may say, wait a minute, God can do whatever he wants. And yet what we're saying is we want to invite God in, and we can try to do it in our own strength. Right?
That's right. We want to rely on his strength, on his answers, and he'll give that to us as we seek counsel first from our spouse and then from others on what we should do.
All right. Well, we love a good tool around here at FaithFi, and we have a brand new one to tell folks about, don't we?
We do. I am so excited to announce the new FaithFi debt assessment. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and give you the address right now.
All
it's
right.
faithfi.com/debt. And let's talk about what this assessment will do. Basically, you can go on there, fill in the various debts that you have, and it will give you the opportunity to determine how you want to pay it off.
Yeah.
And so there's many different methods. In fact, I've heard us talk about, do we pay the highest interest rates first, or do we pay the smallest balance first? This assessment will give you the opportunity to select. And I think this is a good time to say, each of us have a different approach with money, and this debt assessment takes that into account. The assessment is available today. Go to faithfi.com/debt to take it. And I think you'll be amazed at the tool that it gives you and the resources on top of that to learn how to pay off your debt.
Yeah. Chad Clark, our executive director, and his development team have been working on this. And I've not seen them this excited about something in a while. They're so thrilled, and they're just loving getting into the numbers and building this tool. They think it's perhaps unlike really anything else that's out there. And I've found, Sharon, that unless you have a plan, you can get stuck in not taking your next step. And perhaps this is what someone needs to get going.
I think sometimes it can feel like a black cloud over us. And part of the way that we break that black cloud is information and a plan.
That's so good. Well, folks, if you want to check out this debt assessment tool, you can do it, as Sharon mentioned, at faithfi.com/debt. That's faithfi.com/debt. And you can take advantage of it today. Now, Sharon, you're going to stick around and answer some questions with me, right?
That will be so much fun.
All right, let's do it. Folks, the lines are open. We're ready for you. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Sharon Epps, President of Kingdom Advisors. We're answering your calls and questions today on anything financial, whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing. Let's talk about it today. 800-525-7000. Again, that number with lines open, 800-525-7000. And Sharon, it's less about just giving answers to questions and more about how to think biblically and make wise decisions, right?
It is, and to look for God's action in our lives, our everyday lives, and all of those decisions around the live, give, owe, grow.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so much in God's Word that we can pull out. So we want to help you look at this through a biblical lens, encourage you, but also help you with a framework and maybe some principles to make those decisions. So whatever you're thinking about today, we'd love to hear from you. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin today in Delaware. Wes, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, I had a question about my asset allocation. I retired last year. My wife's approaching retirement at the end of the year. We've got like $1.5 million in our various investments. And,
yes, sir.
I've got about 85% allocation in equity, 73% U.S., 12% in international. And my tendency is to stay there, because we've got $250,000 cash in addition to that,
yep,
that we can live off for like 3 years with what our budget is. So I shouldn't have to touch that money for 3 years anyway. I'm not worried if it has a good year or a bad year.
Right, right. And so you're just wondering if that's wise?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Let me ask you a couple of questions. What is the age of you and your wife?
I'm 68, my wife's 65.
Okay. And what income sources do you have at this point? Are you just drawing off of the 250?
My wife's still working. My wife's still working, so we're like touching nothing.
Okay.
Currently.
Yeah. And how long does she plan to continue to work at this point?
Till the end of the year.
Okay. And then at that point, will you all start taking Social Security, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm on Social Security now. She'll start Social Security up next year.
Okay.
And the way I calculate it, with you being very conservative, we will need to pull $60,000 a year to maintain our quality of life and do a nice trip somewhere each year.
Okay. And so that $5,000 a month is over and above the Social Security once
that's what our budget will be for.
Okay. Very good. But you got the $1.5 million, and then on top of that, you've got this $250,000 in cash. How have you been doing the last few years in that portfolio? Is it down quite a bit, or has it been maintaining?
Well, I've got it right in front of me. It's like since inception, which we consolidate like 80% of it into one money manager who charges 1%. So with his 1% taken out, even we're averaging 8.4%.
Yeah,
like 2023, we were down like 12.8%. This year we're up like 2.2.
Well, that's tremendous. Well, you know, I mean, what we're going to talk about today doesn't replace a thoughtful, disciplined approach to just say, what is the right investment allocation and really giving some careful consideration to your risk tolerance and kind of what your goals and objectives are. The nice thing is that you're in a really strong position. I mean, you've got this $250,000, which, as you said, is at least 3 years worth of expenses that's liquid. You got the $1.5 million. You're not going to have to touch it anytime soon. If you did have to draw from it, you know, the typical rule of thumb is a 4% withdrawal rate. You should be able to maintain the principal balance at a 4% withdrawal rate. Well, that's exactly what you need. I mean, that's $60,000 a year on $1.5 million. So if you were to pull $5,000 a month, you know, you should be able to maintain that. I guess the only question would just be, are you taking, you know, too much risk just given the situation? Because we don't want to take any more risk than we have to. And yet, I understand that you want to keep this growing and outpace inflation and so forth. So I guess if we were to get into a recession, let's say next year, which most economists believe we will, have an 85% of your portfolio allocated to stocks, you know, is a bit high for somebody who's approaching 70. I mean, typically we would say you'd probably want somewhere around 30 to 40%. Now, it's between you and your advisor as to how you're going to approach that. And if you are comfortable taking more risk, you just have to realize that with that comes the volatility. Obviously, your advisor has performed very well, even in the last couple of years during a challenging market. And yet, with a recession looming, if you wanted to shore up what you have and try to take some risk off the table, then you'd probably start to position more heavily toward the fixed income side of the ledger. So tell me just kind of how you're thinking about that and your comfort level around risk tolerance.
Well, the money's going to outlive us. We have a 10-year-old car, a 20-year-old car. Everything's paid for. We owe nobody nothing.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've always done that. God bless us with great careers, constant work, and we've been smart about our money. And it's like, to me, it's what we're going to leave our kids and our grandkids and what we're going to leave the church. And, you know, I plan on tithing. And that's another quick question. If I tithe on what I pull out, I think that should be sufficient as far as the tithing goes. And then I'm going to ask the kids to tithe on then whatever they inherit from
yes,
the
sir.
Estate. And then we'll probably tithe on the estate to boot.
Yeah, so. I love that. I love that. I mean, that's a phenomenal approach just to say, listen, everything we receive is a gracious gift from God, whether it's a, you know, something we already tithed on when it went into the account, if we were tithing on a gross basis. But as we pull it out, just giving a systematic gift that's proportionate to what you're pulling out as income, I think is a great way to approach it. And then, you know, look for opportunities to give beyond that as the Lord leads. And modeling that for your kids is phenomenal as well. So, you know, I don't see any, you know, problem necessarily with what your approach here. I mean, as you said, you all are living modestly. You're not, you know, you don't have any debt service. You got plenty of assets. You got plenty of liquidity. I think the only thing to consider, just as you and your wife come together and think about your ability to give out of this money as you define your finish line and your desire around inheritance, what is that appropriate risk level given that you've already reached the enough point? And as long as you all are comfortable with that, I think you're in a good shape. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program.
Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for His purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Sharon Epps in the studio today with Rob West, and we're talking all things God and money, how we integrate our faith into our finances on a daily basis. And we've got a couple of lines open today, so we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-525-7000. That's 1-800-525-7000. Now, Melissa's holding in Texas. How can we help you today, Melissa?
Hi, I have a question about tithing. I have a margin account where stocks are being sold regularly, and I'm making income off of that. I'm seeing realized gains, but that income is just being reinvested into the account. So overall, my account is actually down year to date, but I'm wondering, should I be tithing off of each and every realized gain I'm getting, even though I'm not taking that cash out and making it something that I'm putting in my hand, I'm just reinvesting it?
Oh, thanks for that question, Melissa. I think the first thing, I just want to commend you in your desire to be faithful and to be generous. And I think that's a great question. You know, I think tithing off of an asset that varies in value, which is what happens with this account as it realizes gains on some sales, you're going to have losses and overall gets a little bit tricky. And I think as with everything else related to giving, we first of all want to go before the Lord and say, what would you have me give? I think in general, though, that as we, the typical principle or practice is as we receive income off of those gains, as we receive cash that we can give, then that's an opportunity to tithe or give a percentage as the Lord leads you. So I think that it's a little bit difficult to get into all the accounting of gains and losses and those kinds of things. So generally, we tithe or give a percentage off of the income that comes out of it that we use for cash.
Yeah,
another perspective, Rob?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, one simple approach would be, Melissa, you could take this on an annual basis because you've got to determine your net gains and losses for the year for tax purposes. And so at that point, you'd be able to true up, okay, what was my increase this year? Because as you said, you may have some investments that you sold and you had a profit, others you had a capital loss. At the end of the year, you'll kind of true that up and figure out, did I have a net gain or a net loss? And then if you wanted to give a tithe on the increase, then you could do it at that point. So that might be one approach to consider. Let me just ask one other question. You mentioned the word margin. So you're borrowing to make these investments. Is that right?
In some cases.
Okay. Yeah, and I'd love for you just to think through that and talk to me about kind of how you got to that point. Do you have an advisor that's doing this for you, or is that something you decided to do?
I have a family member that helps me.
Okay, great. Yeah,
I
mean,
I don't
the only
know
thing...
that he...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to add that I don't know that we've ever had to make any purchases on margin, but it is a margin account.
Got it. Okay, so you have margin privileges. You may or may not have margin. I'd just be really careful there, you know, especially as we're kind of heading into a potential recession here. And, you know, we have a lot of market volatility when we have those events occurring. We just aren't big fans of margin in any environment, whether we're in a raging bull market or a bear market. So I would just be careful about borrowing to invest. I would stay away from it personally, but I realize you may not have any investments currently on margin, even though it's a margin account. So going back to the tithe issue, I think what Sharon shared, or perhaps that annual approach, either of those could work for you. Is that helpful?
It is. I'm still a little confused, so I'm just going to ask one follow-up question.
Sure.
Do you believe that God is looking for that net gain or net loss every year? Or is he saying, you know, I gave you $100 on the sale, so I want my $10 back?
Oh, well, I don't think that's actually how I read the Lord working. I think it's a lot more about our heart and our generosity. Let me use another parallel example of our home. We don't really think about tithing on the market difference of the cost of our home every single year. It's more, well, what do we get out of it when we sell it? So I think with assets, it's more about how you're using it, what God calls you to do with it, where your goals are, and then having that generous heart and the thought of giving first.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling, Melissa. It's been great to talk to you today.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I appreciate Melissa's heart there and the desire to give. And I think we have to navigate these things with the Lord. And sometimes it is helpful to have outside counsel. And I think a certified Kingdom Advisor can help with these kinds of questions as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, as we've talked about a lot, Sharon, you know, New Testament giving is giving freely. It's giving proportionately. It's giving out of gratitude and an expression back to God. It's a way we can demonstrate our trust in Him. And it is ultimately about our hearts. It's not that God is an accountant kind of saying, well, did they check the box this month? But it's really our heart posture in our giving. But we love the tithe as a guideline. It can be a great beginning point for your investing. And if you're going to apply that principle that we see throughout Scripture, clearly it was a part of the Old Testament Mosaic law, well, we would give off of our increase. And so when we apply that principle of increase to an investment, it does come down to realized gains and losses when we talk about an asset.
It is. And I think one of the things that we don't mention as frequently is that there are actually ways to give assets. And so having that opportunity to work with a certified Kingdom Advisor and look at your entire portfolio, it may even be that there are assets that have realized gains within your portfolio that would be candidates to give the asset itself away. And that way you wouldn't have to take the gain. You could actually give it to a ministry or a 501c3 without taking the gain on it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's where a donor advised fund can be really helpful. I mean, think about this like a charitable checking account. You give, then sell, whatever that asset is. So to Sharon's point, you give the stock away to your donor advised fund, you then sell it. Therefore, the capital gain isn't realized, and then you can recommend it be granted out to any charity or your church or ministry that you'd like. Very tax advantaged, so it allows us to be a wise giver and actually get more into kingdom work.
And that's really helpful for the charity and for you as well.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know, Rob, we were talking a little bit earlier about this debt assessment and this live, give, owe, grow pie that we're managing.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I think is that when we think about our debt, sometimes it's a big kind of cloud over our head. And I was just thinking, if I'm sitting listening to this, I might ask myself a question, why should I go take that debt assessment? I don't really want to know what all I've got. And I think that's really the first step, is gathering it all together and then having a plan. So I want to encourage you, as we talked about debt at the top of the program, for you to go to faithfi.com/debt and answer a few simple questions. We have literally made it step by step so that you can have a plan and have confidence. And in fact, if you do that, I'd love for you to call us today or in the next couple of days and say, hey, here's what I've learned and I'm really excited to have a plan, or I need help with my plan, and we'll get you some help too.
Yeah, you know, when you can't see the path forward, you often kind of shy away from the issue, try to ignore it. You may have found yourself in the past when the credit card statements come in, you just kind of stick them in a drawer, don't even open the envelope because you just don't want to face it. And it's not because you don't want to honor your debt, you just don't know how you're going to do it. It goes back to that idea that Sharon just shared about having a plan. Well, that's where we think this debt assessment can be really helpful, because as you do the hard work, let's open those envelopes, let's get all of our debts inputted into the debt assessment so we can see it, then we can start working on, okay, how long is it going to take me to pay it off? If I add an extra $50 a month, how quickly will that accelerate my debt payoff? Should I use the debt snowball or the debt avalanche? And what are those things? All of that can be right there in the debt assessment. So check it out today. There's no cost for it. It's just faithfi.com/debt. Hey, Kathy, we know you're holding. We'll get to your call just around the corner, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Welcome back to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls today. Have space for one or two more. I'm Sharon Epps. This is and Rob West. And if you want to call us, please call at 1-800-525-7000. We'd love to speak to you. Now, Kathy's been holding for a bit. Kathy from Mississippi, we'd love to hear what's on your mind. How can we help you today?
Hi. First off, I really want to say my husband and I, we listen to your program. We're being instructed. We thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're a little over $8,000 in debt, and we have about maybe $2,000 and some change in, you know, savings. We've been asked by our landlord to move. My rent over where I'm renting is like $550, and then of course I have utilities which are under $100, and I've been using the money I've been paying for on the credit card. That's what I'm trying to explain. Anyway, I've been putting it on the credit card for supplies to my husband to take care of him. I take care of him. He's disabled. And also for food. So it's been adding up on the credit card. So, and I, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this or what I'm going to do with this,
yeah.
You know, because I'm going to be having to go into my savings, and that means no emergency fund at all. So, you know. Mm.
Yes. Kathy, what are your income sources right now? Is it Social Security or disability?
That's it. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, and we do give our tithing, and we do give, we give gifts. We help people when they're in need for different things.
Yeah.
So, you know,
sure,
we're givers.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for sharing that. What do you feel like is, you know, when you total up all your bills over a month's time, what is the shortfall that you have in a typical month just to cover everything you need?
Okay, let's see.
And what I'm trying to determine is,
yeah, go ahead. About $1,500 to $1,600.
Okay, so you're spending about $1,500 to $1,600 more than your Social Security, or that's the total?
No. That's we're in the Social Security. I'm able to save some. Like, okay, if it stays the way it was going, then I would be able to save somewhat over $500. But
okay.
You know, with us moving and deposits and all this stuff, you know?
Yes. No, that makes sense. Have you identified where you all are going in terms of where you're moving to and what the additional monthly expense would be?
Well, it looks like it's going to be at least 100 and something over what we're paying now for rent, excuse me. And that was mostly, it's 200 and something. Depending on which realtor or whatever we go through. And, you know, I don't know how much deposit they're going to want.
Yeah, sure. So you'll have utility deposits, obviously the cost of the move and an increase in your monthly rent. And so I understand that's your concern because right now you're able to put a little bit aside every month. But with all of your expenses going up and those moving expenses, obviously that's going to have to come out of your 2000 in savings. Well, one of the things we want to do, and I want to get Sharon to weigh in on this, is we're going to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors reach out to you, Kathy. This is somebody who gives their time and has been trained to bring a biblical perspective of money management, but they specialize in debt repayment and budgets. And it will be somebody that can encourage you, but also really help you look at all of the numbers and potentially get a plan that will give you a little bit more peace of mind as to how are you going to get through this move? And then how are we going to make the budget balance when you move to that new place and you have your budget looks a little bit different and your expenses are going up. There'll be no cost for that. We're going to cover the cost for it, but I think that'll give you hopefully somebody to walk alongside you and actually help you create a plan. But Sharon, what are your thoughts for Kathy?
Well, I'm thinking a couple of things, Kathy. One is you all are givers, and sometimes as givers, we also need to learn to be good receivers. And so one of my questions is, do you have a church body that you're a part of that you might present this need and have somebody, not only the certified Christian financial counselor, but also somebody locally there that could walk alongside of you, potentially might even have a benevolence fund that could help with this one-time expense for the move? Because it seems like you're doing okay on the monthly bills if you could get past this move.
Well, We moved into Mississippi from Louisiana 2 years ago because Ida destroyed our trailer we were in, and we were both in the trailer, and I had gotten on top of my husband to protect him, and we rode the storm out. So, you know, my church family is Jesse Zaplanis, and he's in Louisiana, and we're out here, and I went to a little church, but I only went a couple of times because I stay home with my husband, and I take care of him. So I really don't have a church family out here to, you know, be able to.
Well, I think this is a good time to reach out even to your church family in Louisiana, to your real family, to friends. This is a place where God designed us to be in a body, and the body of Christ can come together and help each other with encouragement. I'd just love for you to have somebody to walk alongside with you that you're in relationship with as you go through this, because there's a lot of decisions to be made.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, let's do this, Kathy. We're going to ask you to hold on the line. Somebody from our team is going to pick up the line, get your information, and then that Christian financial counselor will be in touch with you to go through the numbers and help you get that plan in place, even help you think about what it's really going to cost for you to move and how are you going to balance that budget in your new home. So is that going to be helpful to you?
Oh, God bless y'all. Thank y'all so much.
Well, we're delighted to do it, Kathy. Hey, let's take a moment and just pray for you and your husband right now. Sharon, would you do that?
Okay.
Oh, our hearts are just burdened for Kathy. She's been enduring so much. Just first of all, the physical storm, moving, her husband's disabilities. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll comfort her even today, that your loving arms would wrap around her and she'll feel your presence. And then I also pray that your body, the church, will be faithful and come around and serve them well. Father, we pray for wisdom. What seems impossible is possible for you. And so I just pray that you would encourage Kathy to take each next step, knowing that you're with her all the way. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Kathy, God bless you. Hang on the line. We'll get your information and let us know how it's going along the way. We'd love to hear back from you. Sharon, we're getting short on time. I want to circle back to where we started today. You know, we started with the topic of debt and really talking about how we should think about debt, how we can pay off debt. But you shared some principles around when we should borrow. And one of those was that spouses must be in agreement. And that, of course, applies to debt decisions, but it applies to all of our finances. In fact, one of our callers today, Wes, was just talking about how much risk they should take in their portfolio. Well, that's another example of where spouses need to really work through that together. Talk to us about the importance of that and how you go about it.
Well, I think it's one of the most important money management principles. We obviously first want to listen to the Lord, but secondly, we need to listen to our spouse. God has made it such that in every marriage, spouses are different. Have you noticed that? I've noticed that. Yeah, but there's a reason for that.
Yes.
And that is we can so easily convince ourselves that we're right because we're talking to ourselves. And a spouse has different skills, abilities, and gifts that God brings together, not to be frustrating, but to help us be more well-rounded in our decision-making, both from a personality and experience. And I think one of the things that can happen is if we have a spouse that's not as involved in finances, we can just assume they don't care or they don't know, or maybe they don't have the knowledge. But I have had so many couples where it has been the spouse without the financial expertise, so to speak, that's actually caught a key risk point or perhaps a concern about the legitimacy of something. And so to listen to our spouses is just a huge protection that God gives us, both from the positive and a negative standpoint.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Those differences really come to bear to help you make decisions so you can see different perspectives. You know, it could be that that person who's a little more risk averse is going to help us see an opportunity where we need to pass on something. Maybe we are getting ahead of ourselves. And the opposite might be true, where we're holding back and there's an opportunity to give more. And we can really do that. And it'd be a great opportunity to trust the Lord or to even enjoy what God has given to us. But unless we have both perspectives at the table, we'll never be able to have those ideas coming together. And that's really, of course, God's design. Unity in this area of marriage, but certainly that includes money. It doesn't have to be a source of conflict, that's for sure. Well, Sharon, as we round out the program today, we introduce this new debt assessment. Remind us again what's there waiting for us at faithfi.com.
Well, at faithfi.com/debt, you have the opportunity to look at your debt picture and develop a plan. That plan will help you know what to do and what steps to take to help you get out of debt so that you are free to serve the Lord in whatever way He calls you to do. And that's our hope for you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you're one of those people that Sharon was talking about where you just don't like numbers, I promise it's not going to look like a spreadsheet. It's going to look like just a series of questions that we ask you so that you can input the information and then have the tools to actually make decisions on how you can pay that off most quickly. Well, Sharon, it's always fun to be with you. I appreciate you sitting in today.
It's been a meaningful conversation. I'm grateful.
That was Sharon Epp. She's president here at Kingdom Advisors. She joins us regularly on this broadcast. We always look forward to that opportunity. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. Hey, Faith and Finance is listener supported, and here in the fourth quarter, this is a vital time to hear from you with your financial gifts of any amount. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. Thanks to my team today, Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick. I'm Rob West. We'll see you tomorrow on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.